that's going to wish this, that's going to turn to my good. But Bible hope is different than the hope we use today, the kind of word we use today, hope. Bible hope is confident expectation, that you're confident and expecting at any time, praise God, this is going to turn to my good and God is going to do something for me, or that he has already done something, but it is taking some time. And so it does, we know we need to stand and believe. So could you guys put up Ephesians chapter 1 and starting from verse 16, and we're going to move down there, and we're going to pray, praise God. We're going to pray. Take about 5 minutes to pray, and we're going to pray the Word of God together, and ask God to move and bless yourself, bless your families. Glory to God. There's something good. You know, we've been teaching on Wednesday nights that we need to get into the Spirit, and the best way to get into the Spirit is begin to pray in other tongues. The Bible says when we pray in tongues, we are praying in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Amen? Praise God. So we are in the Spirit. When we pray in tongues, we get into the Spirit. We're praying out of our hearts by the Holy Spirit within us. And so we're praying in the Spirit. So that's one part of it. There's two ways, mainly, that we pray. We pray out of our heads or understanding. First of all, you pray about all the things you know about that might be a problem. Because when you look at a problem, you're just looking at it all from your own intelligence, all human effort and understanding. Because you're not God and you can't see everything, you are limited. You're limited in your praying. And it's frustrating. But behind every trouble, there's an enemy that's opposing you, that's blocking the will of God for your life and the good things that should be coming to you. So there's an opposition there. But if you study prayer, spiritual principles, and you'll see that there's an opposition. When you're mad at people, you're really not supposed to, you know, see that person. It's the work of the enemy behind. Because anybody, any saint of God can yield to a different spirit. And not be possessed by a devil, but yield to a spirit, because that's what you've been accustomed to. It's, you know, old character, old behavior that's causing people. But there's a spirit at work in different people in the world. And so people get caught up in anger and resentment and all kinds of junk. And so we need to attack the work that's going behind, maybe coming through from that person, and speak to the spirits that are operating through those individuals. And so if you look at, you know, looking at studying the books in the Old Testament, like you look at Daniel chapter 3 and 9 and so forth, you find that there's a double kingdom. There's a natural kingdom, there's a supernatural kingdom, spiritual kingdom, and there are spirits that are here dominating, you know, in the world. But if you're Christian, they don't, not supposed to dominate you. And in Ezekiel, he talks about in there that there's a kingdom, a dark kingdom of darkness. Because, you know, over in Ephesians 1, it says that we have been delivered. Paul is praying for the church at Colossae, Ephesians, or Colossians chapter 1. He said, I thank my God, verse 12. You know, for you and so forth. Then he goes on to verse 13, that we've been delivered from the power of darkness.
Hallelujah.
The power of darkness is his kingdom. But we've been transferred in the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus. So we're in the kingdom. We're in another kingdom. Yeah. So we're in the kingdom of God right now.
Yeah.
Right now, if you're born again, the kingdom of God is in you.
Yeah.
Amen. So we pray out of that, and our victory comes out of that. So, I want to teach about patience this morning, but I just need to go into this for a second, because there is a darkness that if you're not careful, you'll just look at natural things and feel defeated. Feeling defeated and being defeated are two different things. You're stronger than you feel. Amen? And so some of you are better looking than you think. You can guess. I'm just kidding. But anyway, I thought I'd just, Pastor Ken's not here, so he's watching right now. He knows. But we need to pray, you know, in line with Scripture, because you think you know how to pray. But Ephesians tells us that we pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer, supplicating in the Spirit. All kinds of prayers and supplicating in the Spirit. That's praying in tongues. You pray two ways. Number one, 1 Corinthians 14 says we pray out of our understanding and we pray with our spirit. We pray with our mind, we pray with our spirit. Two ways. And so for us to really pray in tongues, we're praying the perfect will of God. Because you can't pray the perfect will of God. That's why Ephesians 6:18 says supplicating in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers, plus supplicating in the Spirit, because we pray in tongues, supplicating in the Spirit with the Spirit's help. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, when I pray in tongues, I'm praying with the help of the Holy Spirit, you know, praying the perfect will of God. Romans 8:28. Praying the perfect will of God. So Jesus said he is our helper. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our helper. I'm going to put my money down. Trust you with it. So we pray, we're praying in tongues, we're praying in the Spirit. So don't limit all your praying with your head, because you're limited. You're only thinking what you see that is the problem. There's more than just what you see. You say, oh, you know, what he needs is a wife. Lord, I pray for a wife for that young man. And he gets into more trouble. Or you pray, you know, I need this, I want that. You know, we need to see what our desire should be, what God wants. We should ask ourselves, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's the best prayer to be. It's a dangerous one, they say. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Come on, I'll say that. Everybody say it. Lord, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. So God can take that now, if you really mean that, and he can make things happen in your life. And we have different people here that come up frequently to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they can't pray in tongues because they got a stupid head. Because their heads, they're just living in the natural all the time. They don't know how to yield to the Spirit. Because they say, if I'm praying in tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. You're not supposed to know what you're saying when you're praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says when you're praying in tongues, you're praying mysteries. That's hidden truth, not obvious to your senses. And you're not talking to men or anyone else, even you. You're talking to God about the situation. Say you have a hard situation in your life. Say, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I've been praying for a long time. I've been trying to believe, and I'm kind of quoting scriptures in different things. And I don't know how to get over this area. But, you know, Lord, Holy Spirit, I'm just going to yield to you and pray in tongues about this situation. Purpose to pray for this in the Spirit. Yeah. And then you pray in the Spirit. And then you cover that over and asking God's plan and purpose and his will to be done. And so that's what we do. I began to teach on prayer a number of years ago, and the Lord spoke to me. I had a guy call me from Nigeria yesterday, and he saw one of our television programs, and he said, I've never seen anybody teach on the various kinds of prayers, and you talked about different kinds of praying. He said, you wanted to use the material. I said, yeah, go ahead. I mean, I said, that's not original to me. I got that from Rhema. Went to Bible school. You can just go online and get all the material there and go to some of our, you know, graduates and get their material and just, you know, download, whatever. It's for everybody. The Word of God is for everybody. We get information, we pass it on. It's not ours. Yes, yes. You know? So nothing's original to anyone. You might have your name on that book, but God gave it to you. It's for everybody, right? And that's why Keith Moore, if you go on Keith Moore's website, you can download any kind of material you want on it for free. You don't have to go and order anything and give books like some ministries. They stay alive on books and tapes, and God told you, fine. But with Brother Moore, you can go to his website and start downloading the things that we teach here. You know? And we were taught by Brother Moore. Thank God we had meet somebody like that that was able to help us. And he stuck with Brother Hagin for over some 20-some-odd years. And God told him two things, or one word, and that is, go help Brother Hagin. And then so that's what he did. But, okay, going back to that prayer, we pray in tongues and we pray with our understanding. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians that you can do both anytime you want. That you can pray anywhere, anytime, in English, whenever you want to. Isn't that true? Yes. And you also can pray in tongues anywhere, anytime, if you want to. Yes. You get a little bit more or less amen than that. Because that's what people, lots of people in here think. And that you're in a word church. Yes. And when we teach you stuff, you need to start using it, believe it, or find some other church you can go to and attend there and be a good Christian. That's important. I'm not afraid to lose people. We want you to be blessed and be, you know, be a good man of God. I told the rest of the church. I told the rest of the guys. I said, you know what? I just told Pastor Mika not too long ago. I said, you know what? I tell people in our church, listen, if you want to go to another church, you go right ahead. Our blessings go with you. We'll pray for you. Believe God. If you can be a better member. Somebody else, pray more, believe God, go more church, be more faithful, then you go to that church. However, if you come here, you do the same thing. Amen? So we're not afraid to lose anybody. You're not mine, I'm not yours, but since we're together, I am yours for now, and we're together. Okay, that's what you decide, right? That's what you decide. So I'm not going to cater my messages to somebody's liking. No, we're going to preach the word the way we understand it and help people and bless people. And so we need a Word of Faith church in this area. God told us to establish this church, establish the ministry. Now, it hasn't been that easy because, you know, people push against it. We've established ourselves quite strong in this city as a faith church. And so we've established ourselves. By the way, thank God that we were able to help out a little bit, just be part of so wrote us a letter from the Salvation Army to ring the bell and get some money. I said, I'm going to do that for Spirit Alive and ring some bells. No, I wouldn't do that. But I said, well, they gave these guys license to bum here and right in front of everybody here. So, you know, asking for money. But people... you know, it's kind of funny when people come by, they look at you, oh, I'm sorry, I can't give today. I only have a credit card. And I'm standing right beside a machine. That's why we brought this here. A debit machine. So we can pray both ways. We can pray in tongues anytime you want to. You can pray out of your head anytime you want to. But most of the time, it's wrong. Unless, that's why we have to think in line with Scripture. You have to ask yourself, is this thinking and the way I'm feeling, is that in line with the will of God? Yeah. And if you can say no, then you need to change it.
That's right.
Right? And so, it's not about our will, but what God's will is. Thank God for that. Amen? So, I'm not teaching on different kinds of prayers, but it's a good thing anyway, right? Yes. So let's put up 1 Corinthians or Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 in the Amplified. We got it up there? I want you all to get your eyes up here. Is that the Amplified? That's the King James, my brother. I wanted to get the thing. So this is what I prayed for you yesterday and keep praying for you every day, that your understanding would be open. And we need everyone to have the revelation of God. So let's be open to God. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention in your view in my prayers. Paul is saying that. Now you have to understand that Paul is praying by the leading of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is leading Paul to write this down, to pray this way for the church. And if it's right for the church there, it's right for us now. And it's, this word is alive. For I always pray to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom. We need wisdom. The Bible says the chiefest thing in the world is to get wisdom.
Yes.
It says it's better than having lots of money, lots of treasures. You can't go to heaven just because you got a lot of money. And you can't change their lives, you know, because you got a lot of money in the bank. God can do that. The spirit of wisdom and revelation about what? Of the insights into the mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, when I pray in tongues, I pray the mysteries. Hidden truths. The will of God. I pray mysteries. Insight into the mysteries and secrets of the deep and intimate knowledge of him. One version says about that last phrase, the intimate knowledge of who I am in Jesus Christ or in him. God wants us to know as a result of what he did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection when he was raised from the dead. God wants us to know what is the result of that for me. How do I benefit from all that? Well, the Bible tells us that we are his child. That whatever Jesus got, he awarded it to us. Whatever he got for us, it's now ours. So that's the revelation, or part of the revelation that God wants us to have, that we have more authority in our lives than we've ever known. We have authority. And then he says, by having the eyes of your heart, that your spirit flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you. The hope is that confident expectation of doing the plan and purpose will of God. And God wants you to know that, what the hope that you have in him. And how rich, or other people, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in his saints is set apart once. He wants you to know what belongs to you as a result.
Yes.
Okay, number 20. Which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So that's how we got it.
Yeah.
Raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. Above every title that can be conferred. Not only in this age and this world, but also in that age and world which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church. Go to 2, 5, and 6. And we want to go to the next chapter, chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. What is that? 3. Okay, among these we also once lived, conducted ourselves in the passions of the flesh, behavior governed by corrupt sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, of our cravings dictated by senses of our darkened imaginations. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs. Verse 3, as it says, of his indignation and rents of mankind. Verse 4. But God's rich in his mercy, because of his in order to satisfy great, wonderful, intense love, which he loved us, even we were dead. Okay, so we were dead before Jesus did all that. Before you accepted Christ, you were a dead man walking. You're spiritually dead. That means you were cut off from Christ, cut off from God's kingdom. But when Jesus Christ came into your life, now you're connected back to the kingdom of God. That's what Colossians 1 and 13 says. You were transferred into God's kingdom when you accepted Jesus. Right now, that's where you are. And every devil on earth doesn't want you to know that he's defeated, that he can't do anything in your life unless you allow it through ignorance.
That's right.
He doesn't want people to have information. He doesn't want people to be taught to start taking care of themselves. That's why I'm trying to teach people as a pastor not to depend on me. I want you to depend on your own faith, because your faith will work for you.
Amen.
And that we need more than one person having faith. Not just a pastor, a few elders. We need everybody to have the same kind of level of faith.
Amen.
To do a lot more.
Amen.
Not just one superstar pastor with anointing on his life. Everybody should have the same thing. We're all gifted a little bit differently, mind you, but we need to have the same, because we need to win this world.
Amen.
Right? So he said the last section here, he gave us his very life of Christ, the same new life which he quickened him. That God, the same life that made Jesus alive is the same life that made you alive in God. See, Jesus had to die, first of all, spiritually. Then he gave his life physically. Two deaths. Spiritually comes first. Secondly comes the natural death. That's what the Bible teaches us. Adam died first in the garden, spiritually. Then a whole lot of years later, he died physically. So life has gotten a little shorter now these days. Notice that? You know, so we need to see. Maybe it's why God says I'm shortening the days. So it's been a short day lately. Notice that. So he quickened him, for by this grace, his favorite mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment. Woo! And made partakers of Christ's salvation. Next verse. And he raised us up together. He what? And made us what? Sit together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of being in Christ Jesus the Messiah. I want you to go to chapter 1 again in verse 20. So here's something about, you know, people are afraid of the devil. They're afraid to look, they're afraid to talk to the devil and say, you can't have this. Sickness, you get out of here. You stop pestering me. So he wants to destroy lives. He raises up together. Is this chapter 1 and verse 20? I think that guy is drunk back there. He had too much to drink during the worship service. I did see him dancing, though. Which he exerted in Christ when he raised from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in places. What is this? Chapter, okay, 21? Far above all rule. So God, Jesus, what God did in Jesus Christ, he did it, Jesus did it, and God did it for us. Yes. Jesus didn't have to die. He didn't need salvation, but we did. So he became a man to show us how to have victory. So far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is named. That's the name above cancer. The name of Jesus. God can heal cancer. It's no problem for God to heal cancer. It's not impossible for God to heal cancer. I remember Keith Moore talking to us in school. He said, you know, right under my hand, I'm praying for someone in healing school. Like at healing school, people have nothing left in their life except that's it. You got 30 days to live. They come to healing school and you're teaching. Death is everywhere. He said, I prayed for a lady who had a big, huge tumor. I prayed for that lady, and all of a sudden, instantly the tumor went down, right before my eyes, before my hands. And that's, he said, you know, we see those things, but the greatest miracles is when people start believing this.
Amen.
That they believe it for themselves. I don't have to have anyone lay hands on me. That's where Brother Hagin wanted to take us. He wanted to take us there. He wanted to take us to a place where we can believe the word ourselves. I don't have to have any superstar pastor lay hands on me. I don't have to try. I don't have to spend $4,000 to go to Texas to get a plane, get a hotel room, rent a car, and get all tired. I can get that right here.
Amen.
Hello?
Yeah.
Now, people don't believe that. They don't believe what I'm saying. But you have to go to Toronto or somewhere else to import it. But they don't believe that God can be just as strong here with our faith.
Yes.
And yet God is everywhere.
Yes.
God is inside of us. You say, Pastor, are you? You know, hey, listen, we're not gonna live in this world without trouble. He's gonna do whatever he can to distract you. He might take you on a 20-year journey to get away from God. He might take you down a wrong path because God is not fast enough. I'm supposed to be teaching on patience. That's one word I gave you. So I want us to go to Ephesians 6:12. So there are all kinds. God says he raises up above all those spirits.
Yeah.
Remember when Daniel was praying in Daniel chapter 3? He was praying. He was fasting for 21 days. And on the 21st day, an angel appeared to Daniel. He said, Daniel, I am come for thy words.
Yeah.
When you pray, you have words, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you know, Brother Hagin used to tell us, you can either pray it or say it.
Amen.
You can either pray it or say it. You can either pray it or say it, because when you pray, you're saying something. You don't have to go, we need to have, when you're confident in God, God says, come boldly into the throne of grace. Come boldly into the throne of grace. Come boldly. Come marching in, skipping like a wonderful little child. Woo, daddy, woo-hoo! Hebrews 4, I think 16. Come boldly into the throne of grace, that you might find grace. That's not your ability, that's his ability. That you might find his ability, his awesomeness, and his mercy. That whatever you need, you can find it in him.
Yes.
Psalm 100 says, come into my presence with singing and dancing.
Yes.
Praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You don't have to sing as nice as a worship leader, but you can sing. Because
yeah.
I hear that all the time behind me. And he can't sing. But he sings louder. I said, you're messing me up. You're messing me up. No, I'm just kidding. He can sing pretty good. So it says, for we wrestle, we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending with physical opponents, but against, what is that word? Despotisms. Against powers, against master spirits who are rulers of this present darkness. So we have these guys over here. Against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly sphere. So this is what we got to contend with. But did you know that God raised you above all these spirits?
Yeah.
That you have victory over these spirits?
Yeah.
That they are not supposed to rule our lives? They can only rule your life in different areas. Maybe you're strong in one area. Maybe another area you're not so strong. Maybe you're strong in, you know, we have to strengthen ourselves in every area. That's why you have to have the Word of God teaching on every area of our lives.
Yeah.
Maybe you're good with finances. Maybe you're poor in family matters. You know, different areas. Maybe your leadership abilities are not that great. Maybe you need to be shored up on another area. So that's why we have opportunities to teach and train people. Faith City Church is about a teaching center, and it's about training people.
Yeah.
That's why we have, you know, the different things, opportunities. Like, we don't have everything in place, but we have a vision.
Amen.
Our vision is much bigger than who we are.
Yeah.
Much bigger. Yeah. Keith always tells me, Keith Bunn over here, my friend, he always says, you know, Faith City Church is bigger. God, you know, it's bigger than that. Well, thank God he tells me that. But so these are the spirits that we're contending with. But you don't have to be afraid of them, because in chapter 1, he told us that we've been raised above these spirits.
Hallelujah.
And if we don't watch it, the only way they can take advantage of us, if we don't have the word. And they'll keep pestering you, pestering us, and trying to oppose us. That he'll always be there to oppose us. But we got to take authority in our lives.
Amen.
Take authority in our lives and tell them, in the name of Jesus, if you have fear, say, I fear, I resist you.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, the Bible says, I will not fear. I choose not to be afraid. So we begin to say what God says. So we have to take responsibility over our spiritual life. Glory to God. Are we going to do it?
Yes.
We're going to do it. Yes, we're going to do it. Thank God that we're here together. We're together again. In what a co- I don't know. I don't even know the song. So, go to chapter 3, Ephesians 3, I think it's 17. I'm just doing this by heart. So I just saw myself doing this in the Spirit. I saw myself doing what I'm doing right now in the Spirit. So that's what I'm doing. I'm following the Spirit. Now, I have a lesson. I sent 3 people my lesson this morning. They all have it. So if you want my notes, I'll give you my notes. Okay, so is this 3:7? Go to 16. Okay, go to next one. I prayed this for someone yesterday. Well, let's go to 14. She says 14. Let's go. For this reason, seeing the greatness of his plan, by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you're walking down the road, you can go on your knees if you want, but I say, I bow my heart unto you, Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can do that. Yeah. Okay. For whom the family... Every family in heaven and earth is named. So we have family in heaven. That the Father, from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name, that he may grant you. This is where I start praying. So let me just pray this prayer for you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, say, Father, in the name of Jesus. No, I'm praying. you can pray. You can do this in a moment. So if I'm praying, I'm walking down. Like yesterday, I walked from the back of my house. I left the back of my house. And I ran from my house all around, right through, I didn't run all the time, but I ran most of the time. I ran through, what is this place? Centennial Park. Ran through Centennial Park and ran up the hill under that big bridge over there, across the other bridge, come around, come over here, and went into my office and cried. Because they couldn't hardly run. I couldn't move anymore. And I prayed this prayer for you. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. And I want every partner to know that I'm praying for them. When you give money to Faith City Church, I'm hooking together with you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your families. I'm praying for you, your healing. I'm standing with you. It says in here, Father, I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all Faith City Church members, our leaders, our families, all the boys and girls and everyone there. I pray that you would grant them. You would grant these people that I am praying for right now at Faith City Church, out of the rich treasure of your glory. I pray that they would be strengthened and reinforced with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit in their inner man. I pray, Father God, that his personality and their personality would be one with yours. In the name of Jesus, turn. May Christ dwell in their heart, actually settle down, abide, make his permanent home in their hearts. I pray that they be rooted deep in the love and founded securely on his love. That each one of them may have the power to be strong, to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth, length, and height and depth of it? That each one will really come to know through practical experience for themselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that they may be filled throughout all their being, have the fullness of God, that they may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body flooded with God himself. Now unto him, unto you, Father, in consequences of that action of his power that we just prayed about, is that work within them is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far above that all that we ask or dare to think about, beyond our highest prayers and beyond their highest prayers and desires and dreams and hopes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. To you be the glory. Father, may you get the glory in their lives, that you're the one that did it. May they tell everybody about what's happened in their lives because of you, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, I don't know anything about their prayer. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And so, because I don't know every saint, because Ephesians 6:18 says that we pray with all kinds of prayers. And sometimes I ask God for his mercy if someone's living in out of his will. I ask God, Father, you're merciful. I pray your mercy upon that person for living out of your will, for being willfully disobedient. I'm asking you to help him. Lord, give him some time. Give him some time to repent. Send somebody across your path that they will listen to, because they don't listen to me. But you know someone right now, I pray in the name of Jesus, I'm interceding for them on their behalf. I'm praying. I'm pleading as a lawyer. The Bible says that we plead as a lawyer would plead for the case. We plead on their behalf. Remember how they say, how do you plead? I plead not guilty. I'm pleading them not guilty because of the blood of Jesus. Because of your mercy. And why don't we just go to the King James for a second, because it makes it a little shorter here. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, that rather you may prophesy. 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit, notice this, howbeit, however, in the Spirit. Everybody say, in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit. He speaketh what? Mysteries. That's the divine hidden truth that's only for us. Deuteronomy 19:19 says that all the secret things belong to God. And whatever he reveals to you for that moment is what he wants you to know. He might not tell you everything, but he'll tell you what you need to know. If he doesn't tell you anything, if you don't get any more revelation than what you've been getting when you're praying and asking God, show me something, God, show me, give me a vision, give me a dream, send somebody, give me send an angel, send me a voice, send me a puff of smoke, give me a feeling. That's what people are looking for, because they're living natural lives. They're living by their senses. And that's called asking God for a fleece. In the New Testament, we don't have fleeces. They're all run out of heaven. They don't send them anymore. So they can't FedEx them to you. You know, Dr. Fred Price says they're joining forces. Federal Express and UPC, right? What is it called? UPS? They're going to call it Fed Up. So we speak mysteries and tongues. Go on, go to 14. There's another verse of scripture I wanted to get. If I pray in an unknown tongue, praise?
Spirit.
My spirit. But my understanding, that's your head, your mind, is unfruitful, is unproductive, doesn't understand what you're praying about. But it doesn't matter. You don't have to know everything.
Right.
You do this by faith and believe that God's will come. Go to Romans 8, 26, 28. Romans 8. Because I believe that we need to start praying for different things to get results. Is this okay with you guys?
Yeah.
How many people don't like this? Because I see some of you like, oh, you know, teach me something else. This is what it appears to me when I'm sitting here. That's the message I get for some people. If you look like this, then I know, they're okay about that. They say, that's stupid guy. No. Ernie, are you okay? He's like, he's mad at me right now. Me and Ernie was last night having a great time. He got in the spirit. He prays me, Pastor. I got this intercession going. Okay, let's pray. And I'm trying to text him in tongues. Okay. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's your weaknesses. What is it? It's because you don't know a lot. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know how to pray for everything. But the Spirit, who was given to us by Jesus, himself makes intercession for us. The best way to pray for yourself is praying in tongues. With groanings, which cannot be uttered. Brother Higgin used to say this. Like he says, likewise. Why did he say that? Because Jesus himself took our infirmities. And likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. Sometimes, if you don't pray this, some people will not be healed if you don't pray for themselves in tongues. This is not baby thing. This is important that we do this stuff. And it's not just praying, oh, that 10 minutes, I'll just pray for 10 minutes. No, you just keep doing it until, you know, whatever, until you get the note of victory, until he's smiling, oh, I got it, I got something, something, I hit something. So, for us with groanings, that word groanings, everybody say groanings.
Groanings.
That word means inarticulate speech. Do you know what I say? So it's inarticulate to you, but God knows. You have to have faith in that. You have to have faith in the scripture. That if you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying over this situation in tongues. I don't know what to do. Oh, come on, see, tell me, because I know what you said in there, Lord. Your healing belongs to them. I pray in the name of Jesus. Healing, oh, mala shata. I pray you send somebody. I don't know what they need. Some send somebody. Whatever. So with groanings, which cannot be uttered. In other words, you cannot utter this groanings is a language beyond your normal everyday speech. It's supernatural. God's given it to us. Verse 27. Sorry. And he that searches their hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the mind. God has the mind. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Jeremiah 29 says, God says, I know what I have in mind for you.
Yeah.
Thoughts of peace and a future and a plan for you. Your days ahead are great. He said, no, notice this. 28. Okay. He that searches, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's when you pray in tongues. When you pray in tongues, you are praying the will of God for that situation. You have to believe that.
Yes.
You have to believe that scripture that when you pray in tongues, you're praying the will of God for that situation right now. The Lord gave me this today. That's when I went running. I saw myself doing what I'm doing right now. I began to see that. I began to see that inside of me, that people need to know this.
Yeah.
So that we can pray and believe for different things and have breakthroughs. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want us to thank you, Lord. There's a scripture that's coming to me here that maybe we'll just get that for a moment. It's found in the book of Job. You know where the book of Job is? If you can find that book, we want to find a scripture that... Thank you, Lord. I can't seem to find it right now. Job. Well, let's go find this. Can you just pray in the spirit for... What are you looking for? Oh, yeah, my son. Thank you, Father. Lord, we want to thank you for your grace and mercy here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do we have a musician on the keys or somebody? Thank you, Lord. I need somebody to... Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I think this is a... Job 22 and 23. Job 22, 23. 22. Go to 22, 22. And then we'll go on to the rest of the four verses there. Job 22, let's take the Amplified version. Receive, I pray, for you the law and the instructions from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, submit and humble yourself before him, you'll be built up. If you put away unrighteousness far from your eyes, from your tents. If you lay up gold as dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook, considering them of little worth. And make the Almighty your gold and the Lord your precious silver treasure. Then you will have delight in the Almighty, and you will lift up your faith to God. You'll make your prayer to him, and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You shall also decide a thing, and it shall be established for you. That's what you do. And the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. When they make you low, you shall say, there is a lifting up, and a humble person, he lifts up and saves. He will even deliver the one whom you intercede, who's not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered though his through the cleanness of your hands. Go to 30. Use that scripture. And can you go to NLT? The New Living? Because, you know, some of you are praying for individuals that are not living right. We have family members that are not living right. Some of them might not be, you know, out there doing drugs, selling drugs, and committing adultery, but they're not living right. They don't want anything to do with church anymore. That's just as bad as someone say, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want anything to do with that. I just want to live for myself. That's just as bad as the other thing. That's spiritual sins are worse than if you did physical sins. Even sinners will be rescued. They'll be rescued because you're pure. God will listen to a righteous man when they pray. Amen. He'll do what you said to do. Amen. Just because you said it. He'll do it for you. Because he loves you. He wants you to know that you're that precious to me, that I will save your children. Yeah. That will save your husband. Yeah. That will talk to him. I will send someone to them. I want to go to this other scripture, one more scripture, then I guess we're going to have to close here. Proverbs. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Go to Isaiah 24:25. How many people got children, family members that are captive in the world? Let me see your hand. There's people, you know, how many know that Pharaoh was hard-headed? He will not let them go. He did not want to let the old people go, the men, the wives, and certainly not the little children. And he didn't want to let go of their calves and their whatever animals they had. But a man of God had a revelation from God. His name is Moses. He said, not a hoof will be left in Egypt. We want everything back that the devil has stolen. We want it all back. We are going to have a revival here. Jesus said, I can decree a thing, it'll happen. You are going to have a revival whether you like it or not. Okay, so did I say go somewhere? Isaiah chapter 49:24. Isaiah 49:24. Let's go to new NLT. Let's go to NLT. Glory to God. You have more power than you think. You're stronger than you are. You're more, you know, awesome in Christ. It's going to take a while for our minds to begin to, our feelings to agree with what's put in our minds by the Word. It takes a while to start feeling like it. You know? So, who can snatch the plunder of war from the hands of the war of a warrior? Who can demand that a tyrant let his captives go? But the Lord says the captives of the warriors will be released, and the plunder of the tyrants will be retrieved. For I will fight those who fight you, and I will save your children.
Amen.
That's what God says. And so we have to stand on the Word and look at the devil right in the eye. He says, I am not going to quit, just like Moses did, until we have all our children back home. All our family members back home. You have to make a demand on yourself and on the Word. God's asking you to stand on what He's given you to do, to take your place of authority. Let's go ahead and stand up. We'll have to teach that another time. Sorry about the fight. Lied on my Facebook. I'm sorry about the patience part. I want us to pray right now for our families, our children, our wives, our husbands, our wayward uncle. And somebody called me this morning, says, my daddy has cancer and he's dying. And I can't get to him. I don't know what to do. And he doesn't want to hear about church and all that stuff because of the residential school. Well, can somebody help him? Can somebody do something? Well, I can't, but God does. I'm asking, I said, God, let the Spirit lead you and let God lead you. I remember my father-in-law, he didn't want to come to Pentecostal churches because something happened back in Finland with the Pentecostal churches and his family, and it tore the families apart. Something happened. So he said, well, anything to do with charismatics, Pentecostals. But he stayed within the Lutheran church. At the end of his life, it's funny that God gave him a son-in-law who's a Pentecostal. At the end of his life, he accepted it. He started coming to church at our church. He started accepting on his deathbed. He told his wife, listen, I've been a bad man. And he repented. He said, I'm going to go and see so-and-so. He said, my friends are gone. I'm just like them now. They were born-again Christians. I'm like them. We're like this now, he says. So he's up there now. He believes God. So that person called me. He said, I didn't know how to help them. I thought of this morning as well. I didn't know I was going to get that call. I got another call from another lady. Had a hard situation with a young child that's diagnosed with a very serious illness and don't know how to help him. Well, I don't know how to help him, but God does. God gave me these things for us to pray about. I want us to pray. Music team, come on up. We're going to pray for the next 5 minutes. If you have to go, then you're going to go. We're going to pray the will of God for this area right now. 5 minutes. You got 5 minutes? Everybody wants 5 minutes. Well, 5, 10, 15, 20. Play something. Sing something. Just play loud. Make all kinds of noise back there.